Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Gina R., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, July 18th, 2018, and this is the sixth anniversary of this meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 85, the eighth line from the top. We have not even sworn off. To end of paragraph, that is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Comments will be on those six sentences. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Wendy M., 12 Traditions, Alana M., and our readers will be Penny L. C., Liat T. D., Stephanie L., and our newcomer greeter is Melanie C. The reference numbers for Tuesday, July 17th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,670, and Wednesday, July 18th, 2018 is 11,678. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating, overeating, can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Wendy M. to read the 12 steps. Wendy, press star one to be heard.
Yes, good morning. It's Wendy M., recovered in Colorado. Can you hear me, Gina?
Yes.
Great, thanks. 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. I will now ask Alana M. to read the 12 traditions.
Thanks. Good morning. It's Alana M., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater in Ottawa, Canada. And these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name should never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alana M. So here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 85, the 8th line from top. We have not even sworn off through the end of that paragraph. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. We are commenting on those 6 sentences. I will ask Penny LC to begin reading.
Good morning, Gina. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And happy 6th anniversary to A Vision for You. This is the Big Book. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And just to take a step back and remember that what are these sentences? What am I reading? These are the last part of the 10th step promises. Having come through this 10th step, having been able to obtain some emotional sobriety, I am promised that I do not have to have it sworn off. I do not have to, what I like to say, white knuckle my abstinence. And it's even gone beyond the what I consider my head abstinence, when it's just academic, and it's come down to my heart abstinence. And it says here that instead the problem has been removed. What problem? Well, the obsession of my mind. I'm no longer obsessing about the food and being able to get some more, hide it, consume it when no one will see me, get rid of the remains and so forth. I'm neutral around food. It doesn't call to me. I have my food plan that works for me, and then I get on with life. The problem does not exist for us. Well, how can that be? And that's because we're cooperating with our higher power now. We are neither cocky nor afraid. How is that? Well, through the step work, we learn the humility that we need, and we learn to counteract the fear by trusting and relying on our higher power. And that's my experience, and that's the experience of a lot of other recovered people on this line. And that can be the experience for anyone on this line. anyone who's ever struggled with this disease of compulsive overeating. And that is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. There's a pivotal warning, so long as that has to be in place. What does that mean? That means anytime I feel out of balance, I feel disconnected from my higher power, I need to take measures. It's up to me to make sure that I'm doing those things throughout my day to feel God's connectedness to me. Starting my day with prayer and meditation, ending my day with a connection to my higher power. You know, connecting with my higher power throughout my day. Thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you for kicking us off with that, Penny LC. Okay, I am now ready to take names for people who would like to share. Who would like to comment?
Marie J. Jen A.
I think I heard Marie J. and Jen A.
Tina M.
Tina, or somebody, Robin, or?
It was Rosie.
Tina
S.
Rosin. Tina S. Rosalind, I got you in there. Somebody else?
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O, okay.
Sarit L.
Sarit L.
Lisa J.R. Lisa H.
Lisa J.R. and Lisa H. Okay, I'm going to stop there. That gives us eight. So here's the lineup I have. If I missed you, please let me know. Marie J., Jen A., Rosalind, didn't get your initial, Tina S., Kathleen O., Sarit L., Lisa J.R., and Lisa H. Did I miss anybody? Okay, well, this will be the lineup. Marie J., please go ahead.
Thanks, Gina. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for your service, and happy anniversary, Vision. What a miracle this is in my life. This is Marie J., and I'm recovered in Colorado. This last line is just so, so powerful. This is how we react so long as we stay in fit spiritual condition. I've had food neutrality for some time now, and it's only because I stay in fit spiritual condition, and it's a practice, and I have to practice it every day. It used to be that I'd connect now and then, you know, when life was hard, when I needed help, and now I really can't stand not to be connected to God. And it happens sometimes because I'm a human being and I'm imperfect, and I have a disease that tells me that I should be in control. So I go into self-reliance and I start playing God, and that happens. But I get pretty uncomfortable pretty quickly when I go into that being in charge, when I start playing God and I start acting out in my character defects immediately when I'm in charge. So the other big thing is I feel really lonely when I'm in self-reliance and when God's not in charge, because I'm also looking outside of myself for you and everyone else in my life to bring me ease and comfort and to control their lives and tell them how to bring me ease and comfort. And it's just an impossible task. And when God is in charge, my big dark hole is filled up. I'm completed. And I don't need to run people's lives so that I can get ease and comfort. So when God's in charge, I'm never lonely. I'm always in good company. I'm never alone. Everything is taken care of me, taken care of by God for me, for the greater good, for the good of everyone. And then I don't need the food. So I become neutral, because food is not it's a non-issue, because I'm not in charge. I'm not looking to fix things that I can't control, and I'm not under some illusion that I should be in control of other people's lives, and I'm also not needing to use food to push down the feelings that I can't tolerate because I'm not in control. So it feels like this big circular thing, but food neutrality comes from my relying on God. And So today, all day long, I'm checking in. And it's as if God sits next to me in the car as I'm on my way to go meet clients. I'm talking out loud to God all day during the day as I go to my appointments. You know, I'm just asking God to take the lead on everything, on every outreach call, every sponsee meeting. You know, I'm just always aware that I don't have to do this alone and I don't have to be lonely. And when I allow God in, joy and freedom automatically come along the way. So it just becomes natural. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Marie J. Jen A., you're up next, followed by Roslyn. Hey, Jen, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Gina. Thank you for your service. My name is Jen A. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and bulimic here in Littleton, Colorado. And you know what? I am just so grateful for a Overeaters Anonymous line here called Vision that has helped me grow in this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And by the grace of God, I have just grown spiritually so much, and it's because of connecting with others. And so thank you for all of you who started this and continue to do service. I am blessed. And so let's see. It says right here that our experience, that is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Keeping in fit spiritual condition for me, that means that I don't stop and start and stop and start and stop and start, right? That is my life. I am so good at starting something and I'm so good at giving up or giving in, right? And so I have to do what? I have to stay. I have to stay in this program. And at the beginning, I remember, if you're new and on the lines, I remember what staying meant like. It meant like at first, like just following a food plan, white knuckling it, and just doing whatever it took, going to meetings, calling people, doing whatever it took. Today, that's not what stay looks like to me. Stay to me, and people talk about it all the time. I'm in 10, 11, and 12. Let's dive deeper into what 10, 11, and 12 really are. At least for me, I can share my experience on that. 10, 11, and 12 for me is three words, and it was brought to me, to my attention on these lines in Vision. And 10, I'm continue to take personal inventory. I don't stop. I don't give up. When anything crops up, I do the work. Why? Because it, my life depends on it. See, when I got to step 10, my life had already been starting to be rearranged. My heart, those wires were disconnected and reconnected in the way that I could be kind and loving and patient and tolerant to all the people about me, right? And so I got to continue to do that work because those wires can get crossed and unplugged, and that's what I need to do. And 11 is sought, so continued and sought. I'm seeking God all the time, and I love how Marie J said that. It's all the time. I might start in the morning, but it is all day long. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yay, God. Oh, my gosh. My higher power is doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I have to pray. This is the best part. When I don't know, I need to go to Him and pray for the knowledge of His will. I've just had this realization in the last like couple of months. Ask, 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 ask. We are called to ask our higher power. You know, He gives me the awareness. I seek and surrender to Him. And then what am I doing? I'm praying for the knowledge of His will and how He wants me to carry that out. That way I know I'm in God's will and not Jen's will. And then lastly, I'm going to improve, and I'm going to practice these principles in all my affairs. Why? Because I've had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. So my job is to carry the message, and that's what it means. It's to carry the message, and I don't have to sponsor 1,000 people, but I have to pick up my phone every time someone calls, and I call people back, and I just spend time with people, right? And it's not just people in program. It's all God's kids, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jen A. Roslyn, you're next, followed by Tina S. Please go ahead, Roslyn, and if you could say the initial of your last name.
Hi. Well, my name is Roslyn, but this is Roz G. That's what I use here in OA.
Oh, I heard Roslyn. All right.
Well,
go
guess
ahead.
What? That's my name. well, hi, I'm Roz, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm so grateful for Vision for You. I've been around 3 years now, and it has this, you know, this meeting and this deep big book study has revolutionized my recovery and my life. and I'm very grateful for it. I'm grateful for Overeaters Anonymous as a whole, but this particular big book study has just changed me. I was just telling my sponsor this morning how much of a personality change I've seen over the past year. Jealousy has disappeared. Well, not 100%, but oh my gosh, so much jealousy is gone. But neutrality, okay. There are some things that I'm neutral over and some things that I'm not. I'm glad that I don't have neutrality over the feelings for my children or my parents or even this meeting or my job or some of my students. I have passionate feelings about my kids and my family and then compassion for my students. But neutrality is a blessing, because it means that it doesn't really matter. It doesn't pull me. It doesn't have power over me. I used to allow things, food, people, ex-husband, to have such power over me. I lacked power. And the higher power, God, that I believe in, has become the power to give me neutrality over alcoholic foods. But I'm grateful today that I'm not neutral over prayer and meditation and the other things that I've mentioned before. But today, with that spiritual awakening, with that daily prayer and meditation, with that time in the closet with God, it gives me neutrality one day at a time. And I cannot forget that. And I even have power over forgetting. I have a built-in forgetter, so I'm just grateful that power within me has power over my life. I keep saying the word power, but that's what it is. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Tina S., you're next, followed by Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Tina.
Thanks so much, Gina, for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Well, great reading, great part of the big book. All parts are great, but and happy anniversary, Vision. You know, I've been on this line for several years now, and I love what was talked about. It has revolutionized my recovery, too, and I've been around, you know, one day at a time for several days and several years. And you know, the good news for me is that, and it says it in these six sentences that we're reading, you know, it says, we have not even sworn off. The problem has been removed. And then on page 45, it tells me what the problem is. Lack of power was my dilemma. And I had to find a power by which I could live. And that's exactly what this book is about. And then it goes on. And once I start following the direction, being willing to do something different so that I could get something different, you know, through the process and the work, and I've heard everybody talk about it. You know, I just cannot sit here and get it through you. I tried that many years ago, did not work. So once I became willing to want something different, I had to do something different. And by, you know, practicing these principles in all my affairs, not just my food, not just my booze, not, you know, they talk about romances and finances, and it had to be in all my affairs, was I able, you know, to form a relationship with a power greater than myself, because on my own, I couldn't do this. So I had to, and I acted as if early on. I really did. And I loved, you know, I was listening to the earlier meeting, and I loved that somebody talked about, you know, today I just have this freedom about me that I know that I'm not alone, even if there's not another person around me, because I have a power deep down inside that leads me daily once I tap in, once I have that connection. And that's what has happened for me, you know, and that, you know, I'm not cocky, nor am I afraid. I can be on any given day, let me just tell you, because I can be. You know, I'm a compulsive eater and I'm an alcoholic. I can be cocky and afraid, but I choose not to be today, you know, when I keep in fit spiritual condition. And, you know, I love this part of the book, like we all do. And one day at a time, you know, I have a freedom that is, and a life beyond my wildest dreams. And I'll keep coming back. So thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Tina S. Kathleen O., we've got you up next, followed by Sarit L. Please go ahead, Kathleen.
Good morning, Gina. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Not to be confused with Sylvia, Gina. I am so grateful. Happy anniversary, Vision. I was fortunate enough to get on Vision that first year that they started, and I'm so grateful to everyone who not only started it, but all the work that goes into this to keep it going. It has made such a difference in my life, and I am eternally grateful. So I'm so happy, too, that we took 3 days to get through this very powerful paragraph with all these amazing promises. And this is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And, you know, I ask myself, well, how do I know if I'm in fit spiritual condition? You know, there's not a barometer or a temperature that I can look at and see where I'm at. So, you know, yes, it's definitely for me. I have to practice 10, 11, and 12 every day. But it really has to do with the quality of my relationships with other, with my friends and family. And if those relationships are good, I know I'm staying in good fit spiritual condition. You know, if I'm not fighting them, if I'm not trying to control them, not trying to manipulate them, not trying to get them to do what I want them to do, that's fit spiritual condition to me. When I can, when someone triggers me, and it's usually my husband, that I don't have to react. I can just respond in a kind, loving, patient, tolerant way. And that's how I try every day. I work towards treating everyone. And with that, I the universe just kind of brings that back to me, and it's really amazing. You know, it's the other day I got behind this old person who was walking so slowly I couldn't get past them, and I just like took this breath in my head, go, oh my God, this person's so, you know, I just like took a breath and just said, you know, just have patience, Kathleen. You don't need to get anywhere quickly. And thank you, God, I'm not walking that slowly yet. I hope I never do, but you never know. So, yes, how do I know I'm in spiritual condition? I have fewer resentments, and I have greater appreciation for life. And it's to not be, you know, called, not to not have food be my master anymore, to have God, you know, just follow what God is directing me towards is just really amazing. And thank you so much, I pass.
And thank you, Kathleen O. Sarit L., you're next, followed by Lisa J.R. Sarit, please go ahead. Sarit, press star one. There we go. Now I hear you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm Sarit L., recovered compulsive overeater from Montreal, Canada, and this is just so beautiful because this is my story. So what was it like for me? I was locking myself in my bedroom because I knew if I left, I would be binging, and it was just the morning. And I didn't want to, but I couldn't stay stopped. And at that point, it was clear to me after years of struggling in the food that my worst enemy was me. It wasn't my husband. It wasn't my mother. It wasn't the people that were trying to tell me to stop, that were wishing for me to stop. It was me. I could not keep to my promises. I would promise that I wouldn't walk by that store without entering, and then I would be right in. And I'd get new sponsors. I would commit. I would take out more foods. I would try my best and my hardest, but boom, the mental obsession would hit, and then I'd be off and running. I just didn't know what to do when the mental obsession would come. And locking my door with the baby sleeping and getting my binge foods up the store up the street. So these are all the things that I was living a slave to the food. So what happened? I finally was willing to sit through the pain of the mental obsession, and I held on so tight, and then it happened for me. So the miracles that I hear on these lines, and thank God for these lines, they are not lies. And I couldn't believe that God could do it for me, but when I came in, I believed God did it for you. I did believe that, although I had no experience with it, and now I'm on the other side. I do live different today. I'm not living obsessed about the food. I am not living wanting, thinking, wishing people would go away so I can eat, that people would do as I want and leave. I'm not living calculating, hiding, lying. I'm not living like that. And so my head is clear, and it's not me who did that. It's not me. I sat through the pain. I work the steps, and I use the tools to carry me through, and I'm living free. The mental obsession is not in my head, and I live different today, so I'm not trying to be perfect, but I have a goal, and that's trying to be better, And when my head is not filled up with food, there's so much more space and up to notice the opportunities for growth all throughout my day. Thank God. But it's a condition. I have to live in fit spiritual condition today. I have to, or I'll go back there. But thank God for this program, and thank God for OA. But that'll pass.
And thank you, Sarit L. We are on page 85, the eighth line from the top. We have not even sworn off through the end of the paragraph. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition, commenting on those six sentences. We've got Lisa J.R. next, followed by Lisa H. And if you would like to share after Lisa H., get ready to press star one. Lisa J.R., please go ahead.
Thank you so much, and happy anniversary, everybody. I'm Lisa J.R., I'm gratefully recovered, one day at a time in Baltimore. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And, you know, for me, you know, I was secretly came through this program, and even though I heard there was no pixie dust that got sprinkled on us, I was told that, you know, it's not a one and done deal. I kind of secretly hoped that it was going to be, that I could do a little service, but not really, you know, have to put myself out. And boy, it's become the joy of my life, because for me, the food is not the issue. The emotional stuff, like on page 35, the crux of the problem, the mental state preceding the relapse into drinking was my problem, the mental state. So here I come, you know, the food is by God's grace been lifted. But I learned, you know, I had to work. I got up the other day and I was very late, and typically I say that I go over step one, two, and three every morning before my head even gets off the pillow, because I want to control the universe. I want to micromanage everybody and everything to make things go efficiently for me. So here I go, you know, and I start to get agitation. I don't do any of my spiritual work in the morning because I'm trying to keep up, to catch up. And man, in the process of catching up, I go right back into that mental state. And I didn't think of food, but I know now that I would eventually think of food if I didn't get back down on my knees. You know, I think of Usain Bolt, and, you know, Usain Bolt didn't just, to get rocketed into the fourth dimension of performance, he didn't just strap on some running shoes and get in the blocks to break all those records. He had to train and condition himself to stay in condition, fit condition, you know, every single day. You don't back off. You don't shirk the program. And I think of that, and I think this is what I have to do. This isn't a program for me anymore. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. And I am so grateful because I have experienced some wonderful things in this program that, you know, our fourth dimension, my higher power, getting closer to my higher power, has been just amazing for me. I can't even describe just, you know, the fulfillment I have in my life today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Okay, Lisa H., you're next. And then I'm going to take the next grouping. We'll probably be able to take four or five. So please go ahead, Lisa H.
Hi, this is Lisa H. I'm from Seattle, Washington, and I'm a little bit nervous because this is my very first time talking on this call. I will tell you that I came into recovery about 8 years ago, and I'll just make it real brief, but 3 years to get sober, and I just celebrated 5 years of sobriety, and I'm only in my first month of working this program. I really wanted to say, you know, thank you so much to all who are on this call, and every day I've been trying to join in as I can each day. And, you know, I had a woman named Mary Jane from Louisville and Pam C.A. from Seattle call me one time. And one time was by mistake. Someone called me because I think they thought I was Lisa J.R. But anyway, it's led me to meetings, it's led me to the materials, and it's been an amazing thing to start on a plan of recovery for with all this information that I already know about recovery. But it's really been kind of strange too, because half my brain is talking to me as a recovered person who sponsors others, and the other half of my brain is talking to me as an addict who still has a problem dealing with food, because this is my first time really looking at it. And so it's really kind of a strange conversation that goes on a daily basis as I'm trying to work through and use this program of recovery. The blessing is that I never thought that I would get to where I am today, and I didn't believe that I could have it, and that I thought everyone else could get it, but I couldn't get it. And to celebrate 5 years is a miracle for me, and to be able to say, I know that if that worked, that this can work too, and I just have to do the work and keep hanging on and do the right thing every day. I was in an OA meeting last week, and I heard somebody read out of the book and was talking about keep coming back, and that's obviously a mantra we all know, keep coming back, but she talked about the keep coming back is not just to the meetings, but to the recovery, to the steps, to God, to the program, to your sponsor, to all these things. And that's kind of been the thing that's been ringing in my ears for a week now, is keep coming back to it every day as I try to practice this. But, the whole part about being sworn off, I'll just say this. I was at a baby shower barbecue a week or so ago, and people were drinking, and it didn't even occur to me that anybody was having anything. It just didn't even occur to me, but I jokingly said, and well, not so jokingly, that, the cupcakes were calling my name. It's just the realization that I have a problem with food, just the way that I had a problem with alcohol, and that recovery does work. I'm so grateful, because it felt accidental, but I know it's not, that I found this meeting through a friend in the program who, like I said, brought me on to it, told me about your online meeting, and then someone calling me by mistake and leading me to a real face-to-face meeting, and the whole thing.
Time.
I know it's a God gift. So thank you so much.
And thank you, Lisa H., and we welcome you to the line. And I would encourage you or any other newcomers to stay with us till the end of the meeting. Once at the conclusion of the recording, we do welcome newcomers and tell you how to get connected with us. All right, I am ready for a new lineup. Who would like to be in
Nancy
it?
Nancy L.?
You're on.
Jordan L.?
Patty T.?
Robin P. in Los Angeles?
Okay, I'm going to stop right there, because I've got Nancy L., Jordan L., Patty T., Robin P. Who did I miss?
Elena?
Okay. I'm going to stop there.
Elena,
I hope we'll be able to get...
Jane Argan.
I'm sorry, what was the name?
Mary Lee R. and Jane Argan.
Okay. I'm not sure we'll be able to get to all of you. It will depend on how much time each person takes, but this is what I have. Nancy L., Jordan L., Patty T., Robin P., Alana P., and Mary Lee R. Nancy L., please go ahead.
Thank you, and happy anniversary vision for you, 6 years. Ooh, or is it seven? I'm sorry. I forgot. And we have not even sworn off. That sentence just pops off the sheet to me, because that was my experience for many, many years, was to try harder and promise myself with more conviction that this time I really mean it, and I'm going to stick with this diet or stick with these diet shots or whatever that I was throwing my money and my time and my energy at. I would just guarantee myself, and I would even call my friends and say, listen, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm telling you so you can, just kind of help me along, if you will. And no one could help me out. I could not help me out. What I had to do was keep in fit spiritual condition. And for me, that's the number one thing is the step number one, to remind myself I am powerless. I don't have the money, I don't have the energy, I don't have the wisdom, I have nothing works for me. I've tried it all. And what peace and joy came when I really meant that I just gave up all that swearing off stuff And I just grabbed the hand of God and said, God, if you're there for me with this thing, I'm here for you. And I'm willing to work these steps like my life depended on it. And I'm grateful that I've been free from compulsive overeating for a long, long time. Right-sized body and a right-sized mind. Thank you, God. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy L. Jordan L., you're next, followed by Patty T. Please go ahead, Jordan.
Good morning. Can you hear me, Gina?
Yes.
My name's Jordan L. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains, Colorado. And that's funny, right? We hear that saying all the time, working these steps like your hair's on fire. And I'm just sitting on my porch. Thank goodness I get to sit on my porch this morning, right? My hair's never been on fire, but my house, I've been evacuated from my house because it might catch fire. So I know that feeling. That feeling is terrifying, you know? And it was something, too, that Nancy right before said to me. That feeling of just like, I'll try a little bit harder. I'll just like give it a little bit more, you know? And maybe that'll work this time. Maybe that'll work this time. And like getting a little bit of hope from like, I'm gonna do better this time. I'm gonna do more this time. And then that hope just being crushed. you know. So anyway, I used to listen to this line when I first started listening. I would listen to this line and I would hear people talk about neutrality towards food. And I thought they were full of it completely and totally. I thought that they were delusional or lying or I don't know. I didn't really trust anyone when I got here, right? And I would hear people talk about food neutrality and I'd be like, you know, that's great. That's awesome. I'm glad that you found it. It's just not possible for me. I've been compulsively overeating since I can remember, since I was 8 or 9 years old. It's just not even, it's not in the cards, man. and I work at a conference center where there's food around all the time. So that makes it really hard to be like neutral towards it, right? And I just want to share that I've gotten to the point now in the last 9 or 10 months here where I experienced that food neutrality that they were talking about, where I go through a whole day without thinking about food once, except for the four times, because I have a snack, that I'm hungry. You know, that's it. That's it. That's the only time that I think about it. That's a miracle. So anyway, I'm glad to be on the line this morning. That's it.
Thank you, Jordan L. Patty T., you're next, and you'll be followed by Robin P. Please go ahead, Patty.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much for your service, Gina. And gosh, happy anniversary vision for you people. Gosh, this meeting saved my life. And I will be forever grateful. You know, this whole thing about food neutrality, I was just having that conversation with my sponsor yesterday about the fact that I can't even believe it. I don't even think about it. Because I am definitely an emotional eater. I am definitely that person who goes to the food when everything else seems out of my control, if for no other reason than to diminish the feeling of the fear. And, you know, these lines say we are neither cocky nor are we afraid. And it's not that I don't have fear come up, but I get to live in 10, 11, and 12 today. I think that something I didn't do in my first abstinence. I lived in 12. I tried to, you know, carry the message. And I lived in 11, and I tried to, you know, develop my relationship with God. But I was not willing to live in 10. I was not willing to do that 10th step, to do that daily inventory, to look at my day and admit my powerlessness over my ego, over my fear, over my anger, over my dishonesty. I wasn't willing to do it because primarily all of that had to do with my food. I only wanted to commit my food in the morning and then eat it or not and move on. And I didn't want to have to admit that I had lied. I didn't want to have to admit that I wasn't walking my talk, you know. And eventually what happened, well, I relapsed, of course. And then 6 years of chronic relapse. And today, because I am living in 10, 11, and 12, because I am learning right now how to be in fit spiritual condition, I have a chance. I have a chance to have this problem removed. Today, yesterday, it has been removed. I don't worry about tomorrow. I have the next 24 hours, and I pray God, and I thank all of you for your help and your wisdom, that today I am free of this obsession, just as I have been the last, whatever, 90, 80-something days. So anyway, I'm going to pass, and thank you very much.
Hi, this is Robin P. in Los Angeles, and thanks so much for your service, Gina, and for everybody on the meeting, and happy anniversary, and God bless everyone in your recovery. I'm so grateful. You know, I spent decades in the food, decades of my life just hiding, and it was Russian roulette. The second I started, I was gone and for the day, and like the obsession of the mind combined with the physical allergy. And the neutrality today for the past 2.5 years is remarkable. It's miraculous. It doesn't even occur to me. And I'm an inventor, and I go through, there are a lot of challenges, and it never even occurs to me. That's how far it is. That's how much the neutrality is. We're neither cocky nor we are afraid. It's this amazing, you know, different planet. And I am so grateful. And it reminds me that if God can do this in this area of my life, God can do this in every area of my life, that I won't be cocky or afraid in any area, that I get to surrender everything and to practice these principles in all of my affairs so that I don't have fear around, you know, manufacturing or anything else I'm going through right now. That I just get to practice this neutrality, and we cease fighting anyone or anything. It reminds me of that as well. And it reminds me that we must have a faith that works or we will perish. And so it's like that, you know, and I get to take this experience and this neutrality and practice it in all of my affairs. I know that God's got this. God's got everything. God's got things I don't even understand. God's got it. Because if God can do this for me, God can do anything. Because I was of the hopeless variety, completely the hopeless variety. And I tried swearing off. I tried every single thing imaginable, and nothing worked except for this program and working the steps and working with others. And just taking, you know, being willing. You know, my sponsor, the only thing she asked me, are you desperate enough to go to any lengths to recover? And my answer was yes. And I asked the same thing with my sponsees. And it's the only way it works for me is to know that I've surrendered. So thank you so much. With that, I pass. God bless everybody.
Thank you, Robin P. Yelena D., you'll be next. And we just have about 2 minutes left. So Mary Lee R., I don't know that we'll be able to get to you, but please go ahead, Yelena.
Hi, this is Yelena. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, thank you so much for the meeting and happy anniversary, a vision for you. Very grateful to be a part of it. So we have not even sworn off. And interesting that this is nothing that I have planned, because from my own experience, I set a firm resolution. And then I emerge remorsefully. when it fails. And that is a cycle, and it goes on. And all of a sudden, in a step 10, I have not even sworn off, but it just happened that the problem has been removed. And again, there's nothing that I have done. God removed it from me. It doesn't exist. We are neither cocky nor we are afraid. Again, I've been in a situation where I was both cocky or afraid, or either or. And the chances are, if I'm in that state of fear, of food or anything else, 100 other forms of fear, that there is a very, very good chance that I am living with the obsession. And that's what I came to find out for myself. And that is my experience. This is how we react as long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. I really love that. In this paragraph, they say we react sanely and normally. It doesn't say that we become sanely and normally. It doesn't say that I'm all of a sudden changed to a normal person. It just says that as long as I keep on with step 10, 11, and 12 and being willing and showing up for life and for the doing the steps, I react sanely and normally. And that has been true for me. Thank you so much for the meeting. With that, I pass.
Oh, you have impeccable timing. Thank you, Yelena D. You will be our last share today. Mary Liar, we hope you can get on tomorrow. I will now ask Stephanie L. to please read A Vision for You as we close the meeting out on page 164.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And happy birthday, Vision. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.